what and where to dine and drink in the Coachella Valley. Introducing you to eateries from family diners to fancy five-star restaurants and the home of the most interesting adult beverages. This is Delish Dish with Jeff Hawker on iHub Radio.
Thank you for joining me today, and our illustrious leader, John McMullen, is over on the board, and thank you for always being part of the show, John.
Of course.
Today, we've got a really great cast of characters coming from all over the Coachella Valley. Our first guest is Helene Meyer, who's the owner of Peninsula Bakery. Then we have Gabby Rose, who's the owner of Sugarloaf Cafe. And in the second half hour is Katie Finn, who's a certified wine specialist and sommelier and curator and portfolio manager at Desert Wine Shop. Boy, that's a mouthful. She'll give us all the details on what's going on at Desert Wine Shop and give us some tips on what's new, what's exciting, and what are the new trends in winemaking. Our first guest, Helene Meyer. How you doing today? Helene?
Well, she was there.
She was there a minute ago. Okay. Well, we'll get
Hello?
Her. There she is.
You have me. Yes. Yay. Good afternoon, Jeff. This is Helene.
I am so excited to have you on the show today. Love
Thank
your
you.
Peninsula Bakery. But before we get into all the great baked goods that you have, give us an idea of what your background is and where you came from and how you got in this industry. Let's start with where you're from.
Yes, we are from France. We are from Paris, yes. And we decided a few years ago to open a business in Palm Springs. Christophe, my husband, is pastry chef. I just managed the company. I was sales manager in France with some designers and architects, and I manage my company right now. Christophe is the executive chef with our French bread baker, Raphael. Yes, and we decided to leave France a few years ago, you know, to open a business in California, Palm Springs, in first for the weather, for the architecture, for a really beautiful place with friendly people, and we are so happy to live here right now, yes.
Where,
it was for 6 years ago, yeah.
Did Christophe have training as a baker in Paris?
Christophe was graduated to be a pastry chef. Yes, Christophe makes cakes, chocolate, candies, glass, ice cream, and everything. He was graduated many, many years ago, more 40 years ago right now. Yes, absolutely. But didn't practice in France this job because this job was very, very hard and not really recognized. So we have stopped to work like that, did many things in his life, and now we decided to leave France and to open this bakery in Palm Springs.
What made you want to come to the United States?
When?
What was your inspiration to come to the United States?
It's because we love it's United States, but it's California, which is different. And
it is. It's its own country.
Yes, it's different. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Christophe went many times in California. He loves, and his passion is the American classic cars. Came many times here and fell in love with California, you know. It's why we decided to live under the sun. With really friendly people, sweet people. It's why we decided to move in California 6 years ago right now.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the population of California is somewhere around 38, 39 million, but they estimate that there's 250 million cars in the state because there are so many car collectors.
Absolutely, and we had in France, we brought to United States, and we bought a new one here 4 years ago. So we drive every day in American classic cars, which is really nice in Palm Springs.
Yeah. What do you have?
We have a T-Bird 1963, we have a 1962 Chrysler, and we have a 55 Buick. Yeah.
Oh, great cars. I'm so happy to hear that. I can't wait to see them. So Christophe is the baker. You came to California. Did you have your eyes already set on Palm Springs as a place that you wanted to open a business?
Yes, because we went one time in vacation and we fell in love. Absolutely fell in love. It's why we decided to push the door, to talk with everybody here, to know exactly how is the ambience and everything. And we love the mid-century architecture. Really, we are really sensitive. And we decided Palm Springs and anywhere in this state. Sorry. Yeah.
The location you are at the Sun Center, is that the only location you've been at, or were you somewhere else before?
No, this is the only location. Yes, only location. Yeah.
And we're talking with Helene Meyer. She and her husband, Christoph, are the owners of Peninsula Bakery. They are located at 611 South Palm Canyon Drive at the Sun Center on South Palm Canyon Drive. And it's a great center. There's got so many other great stores in that center that, you know, are supporting businesses. And I'm so glad that you guys have done well there. You know, you've got a great reputation. So let's dive into, you know, some of the baked goods that you have. Of course, you know, as you've said, you know, you bake things on a daily basis, so you've always got fresh product coming into the counter.
Absolutely. But our first idea was to import the flour from France. We import the flour from France by boat, usually by 2 tons, because we use only this quality of flour with no GMO, no preservative. Everything is handmade fresh every day. Christoph works all night to handmade everything fresh to be ready at the opening in the morning. And we created few pastries here with your American ingredients too. And what else? What I can let you know? We do bread. We have a French bread baker from France too. Her name is Raphael. She does a really good job. Her bread is amazing. Christoph does the pastries and cakes. And I have one helper, Raquel, who works with me in the front. And we sell almost everything every day. Since 2014. It's just a nice success, and we enjoy people in Palm Springs. And they are really, really sweet. Absolutely, absolutely.
I just recently had your bacon baguette that was just delicious. I had one slice, and I was like, I just ended up eating the whole loaf. Give us an idea of some of the other breads that you have. And I would imagine it probably varies a little bit based upon, you know, what fresh products you have in stock.
Yes. We have a current menu with baguette, half baguette, savory baguette with a cheese or bacon or onion or Kalamata olive every day. We also do a special weekly bread menu in the season, and we do special bread with sun-dried tomatoes or lemon zest or seeds. Or different flour, buckwheat, rye, and everything. We also do every day all our pastries, our danishes, croissant, the butter croissant. We use the French butter from Normandy in France too, which is a really high quality of ingredients. We have our amazing butterscotch pecan twist in creation. We did this pastry 4 years ago, and this pastry became our bestseller. We also do a specialty from Brittany in France called the Queen Amman, with just bread dough, salted butter and sugar, and so many pastries every day, yes.
You also specialize in incredible tartlets, too. Give us an idea of some of the different flavors that you have.
Yes. Absolutely. We do the French tarts made with a crusty sugar dough with almond cream. We do our own almond cream with a pure almond paste with some fruit or apricot or pear. And we also do an amazing cheesecake, which is an American cake, we know, but our cheesecake is the opposite of the New York cheesecake. So light and creamy with on the top homemade jam. Yes, fresh, the same thing. Everything is made all in the night, fresh, to be fresh every morning. Absolutely, yeah.
So you have your bake ovens in the back of the store?
Yes, we have 2,000 square feet in back with two large kitchens. One very cold when we keep 60 degrees to do the dough for the bread dough, the croissant dough, and all the dough for our pastries. And the other one... totally a little bit hot, where is located the oven, and when we do the dish and everything. Yes, absolutely.
Well, so when we're done with this whole you know, stand in place and stay in place. I would love to come in and do some video back in the back when you guys are doing, you know, baking, and we can include that as part of our Facebook posts.
Yes, we can. We had in March, one journalist from Palm Springs Life came to write a really long article about the bread, but you will be welcome if you want to check in back and make some video. Why not? Absolutely. You will be welcome.
So let's talk a little bit about how the business has changed since, you know, we've had to go through this process. You guys were able to stay open through the whole process because you are an essential business. You provide food. But you've changed, you edited your hours just a little bit, correct?
Yes, we have changed our hours because we have a slower traffic. We are fortunate to be open, we know that. We are open only 4 days instead of five. We've reduced hours for a moment because it's enough for this to manage the shop in this crisis. We don't have too much traffic in afternoon. We work in the morning. Our sales are so-so, but we are so happy and fortunate to be open and to serve our community. It's why it's customers can get a treat and a good bread every day. If they enjoy during this crisis, it's all happiness, believe me. Yes.
Do you have certain daily specials, or does it vary during different days of the week?
No, we have daily specials for the weekly bread menu, where we have one special bread every day, different. Today, it's flax seeds and lemon zest. Tomorrow will be sun-dried tomatoes. Saturday will be herbes de Provence and buckwheat multigrains. And Sunday will be raisin bread. It's only what we have different daily. Yeah. The rest we have in our menu, all the same pastries every day, like in France, and the bread too.
Well, and let me tell you, listeners, you cannot find the type of love and care and great taste that go into the pastries at Peninsula mm-hmm. Pastries in Palm Springs. Just phenomenal. I mean, I have just always been so thrilled when I've bought products there. You also, within the little packet that you gave me, and I may pronounce this wrong, but it's a baguette. It's called fougasse?
Fougasse is a traditional snack we do in France, everywhere in the bakeries. This is a savory product made with the bread dough, and inside we decided to do two different, maybe three. The one is called Paris with bacon, onion, potatoes, and Gruyere cheese, or French cheese. It's like a turnover, yes, with ingredients inside. And the other one is called Provence with sun-dried tomatoes, herbes de Provence, onion, potatoes. Same thing, it's for vegetarian too, if you want. And we are actually trying to create a new one called Ratatouille. It's new today.
Helene, that is the end of our segment. I want to give all the information. For more information, you can call 218-5539. You can go on Facebook to Peninsula Bakery Palm Springs. Thank you for being on the show today. We will talk again soon.
Not good. The phone number is not good.
Oh.
If you're curious about the best culinary experiences in the desert, we're about to feed your ears and taste buds. This is Delish Dish on iHub Radio. Now, here's Jeff Hawker.
Boy, talking about taste buds, Peninsula Pastries in Palm Springs. Their location, again, is 611 South Palm Canyon Drive. They're in the Sun Center. And I want to give you the correct phone number. I actually gave you her cell phone number, but which you can still get. But also I wanted to give the bakery number, which is 760-832-6486. You can also find them on Facebook at Peninsula Pastries. So thank you again to Helene and Christoph, the owners of Peninsula Bakery. Our next guest today is Gabby Rose. She's the owner of Sugarloaf Cafe up on Highway 74. And let me tell you, what a great location and a great cafe. How you doing today, Gabby?
She was there.
She was?
Disappeared, yeah.
Okay, we're going to get her back on. While we get her back on, I'm going to give you some resources for... you're there, Gabby.
It's me.
Hi.
I'm back.
Yay.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. You know, I've stopped there a couple times over the years, but being that I wanted to have you guys on the air because you guys are open and you guys are doing some takeout and delivery, I wanted to really promote you guys because, you know, you are one of the few restaurants and places to go up on Highway 74, even all the way through Anza.
We're almost the only place to stop and go all the way through Anza. There's a couple other spots beyond us, but we really love what we do. I opened about a year ago with this concept that I really wanted to make handmade American diner food. And it turns out that comfort food is really what people want right now. So delivery and takeout was one way for us to step and pivot. But, you know, we sit on 17 acres. So we just took all of our picnic tables from our patio and distributed them amongst the landscape and are inviting people to come and picnic. You can pick up your food from our takeout window. You can pre-order it ahead of time to make sure we have what you want. And then enjoy barbecue and pie on your own picnic table. Clean up after yourselves. People have been real kind about it. We've had lots of people out enjoying picnics with their family at completely socially acceptable distances.
That's terrific.
It's a really good time for the Sugarloaf.
Yeah. Give us an example of some of the things that we can have on your menu.
Oh, if you come in the morning, you can have biscuits and gravy or fresh baked cinnamon rolls. In the afternoon, you can have a sandwich. We make beautiful smoked meats. We run the smoker every day, and we do half chickens. We do racks of ribs. We do brisket. And some of the sandwiches we offer include those smoked meats. We do a tri-tip sandwich with Santa Rosa style smoked tri-tip. And we do 13-hour briskets that become beautiful sandwiches. We make a great brisket Reuben. And then you can have a plate of barbecue with mac and cheese and, you know, mashed potatoes. We didn't change our menu a whole lot, but we're offering it all for pre-order, takeout, delivery, and really just utilizing our land to enjoy a few calm moments that feel a little more normal.
So you can have delivery Friday through Sunday. It's a minimum order of $50, and it's a $10 delivery fee, which is really reasonable considering, you know, where you guys are situated. How far are you guys willing to deliver?
We go all the way to Palm Springs, and we go all the way to Idlewild. So we pretty much hug the 74 as it turns into the 111 and go all the way to Palm Springs. And we try and lump together our deliveries so when people pre-order, usually what we'll do is we'll say we'll be there between 5 and 6. And then we'll get all of the Palm Desert deliveries lined up together because we're learning this. I think one of the hardest things for restaurants right now is this step and pivot model into becoming a delivery or a pickup restaurant is so different from being a made-to-order restaurant. And so setting up all these new systems and all this new software is something that's exciting, and it's fun now that we've had some stimulus come our way, right?
Yeah.
But it's something that a lot of people are having difficulty pivoting towards. So it's not going to look exactly like you order a pizza and it's there in a half an hour. But if you give us a little bit of a heads up before you're ready to order, we'll get you your food in time for dinner.
The website is thesugarloafcafe.com. You have your menu on the website, and you've also got incredible photos of what you can experience when you go up to Sugarloaf Cafe. So the smokers are there on site.
Oh, yeah. We have a big competition-style smoker out back. We run it from about 3 o'clock in the morning on. And also, for all of the locals, we really cater to locals. I lived in Venice Beach for 14 years. I experienced gentrification, and I experienced the kick out of the locals in Venice Beach. So locals are really important to me. If you sign up on my website to get my newsletter, you'll get all the special deals that we offer to locals. And they're really special deals. Sometimes it's a special menu. Sometimes it's a special event where we only let our locals know. So, for example, for Cinco de Mayo, I hired a mariachi band for an hour and announced announced it on the local menu, like the local mailing list, about an hour before. It was really fun. So we do fun stuff like that to really motivate the community to come together, even during these hard times.
You're also licensed to sell beer and wine to go, and you're happy to deliver in closed containers. Their website, again, is thesugarloafcafe.com. When we have some more time, we're going to have you in the studio, or I might even come up and do an interview live with you guys. Gabby Rose, cool. Thank you so much for coming on and telling us about Sugarloaf Cafe. That location, again, is Highway 111 in Pinyon Pines.
No, we're off Highway 74.
Oh, I'm sorry, Highway 74 in Pinyon Pines.
Across from the fire station, about 20 minutes from Palm Desert.
There you go.
Come on up and see us.
Yes.
All right.
You're listening to Delish Dish on iHub Radio.
Don't you hate that moment when you're like, where should we go to eat? And you realize you're probably just going to settle for the same old, because, well, it's just easy. Ready to experience a taste of the Coachella Valley? Okay, you're in the right place. It's Delish Dish with Jeff Hawker on iHub Radio.
Welcome back. If you haven't experienced the Sugarloaf Cafe, it is spectacular. The views up there are one of a kind. Their website, again, is thesugarloafcafe.com. It's worth it to drive up there just for the biscuits and gravy. The address is 7111 California Highway 74. And again, their website, thesugarloafcafe.com. Our next guest, I've known for a little while, and we've actually worked on some food and wine festivals together and have promoted wines in the Valley. Katie Finn is a certified wine specialist and sommelier, and is also the curator and portfolio manager at Desert Wine Shop in Palm Desert. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
We're doing good. You know, we're holding our own. It's a little bit different because we're so used to having everybody in the studio, especially when it comes to food and wine, because we usually partake and sample.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it, right?
Exactly. So let's give a little bit of background to our listeners. Where are you originally from, and how did you get started in the wine business?
Well, I'm originally from Canada, but I did grow up out here in the desert. My family were originally snowbirds that one year just decided you didn't have to shovel sand, so they were going to stay. And I ended up in the restaurant industry, putting myself through university, and I was in Orange County, and I had a wonderful opportunity with this restaurant to become a certified sommelier. And I fell in love with wine, and ended up living in Hawaii and then subsequently living in Napa, where I was for 7 years, and then came back here to the desert.
Tell us a bit about the process of becoming a sommelier, because it's intensive.
Yeah, it is. Now, I'm not a master sommelier. I am a second level. But it is intensive because it's so much more than just drinking the wine. There's a lot of politics and a lot of geography and a lot of history. And it's the history that's my favorite part about it. I, you know, fell in love with the wines of South Africa, because once I started learning about, you know, there's 600 years of winemaking, and that, you know, every time they took a step forward, they took two steps backwards, and then there was apartheid and there were wars, and all of that sort of information makes the wine that much more interesting to me, because there's a story behind it, and it's the stories about wine that I love. So when you're becoming a sommelier and you're becoming certified, yes, of course, you have to taste wines from all over the world, which is the fun part, but it's also being really mindful about what you're tasting, the elements that you're tasting, where the wine is coming from, the vintages. It's a lot.
And the viticulture and, how it's made, how it's produced, all that.
Exactly.
How long does it take to generally go through that program?
I took, so when I took my first exam, it was a very long time ago, but I would say from the day I cracked my first book to when I took my exam was probably about a year and a half. And then for my second exam, which was much more intensive, it took me a good 2 solid years.
You're also a certified specialist of wine. What is the difference between those two?
So sommeliers are hospitality industry focused. Our job as a sommelier is working in a restaurant or a tasting room or some sort of hotel, some sort of hospitality focused business, where your job is beyond just working with the wine, but it's to give your guests the experience, the food and wine pairing, you know, the proper technique for opening, pouring, decanting. Whereas a certified specialist of wine is more focused on, we'll say, the retail side of it, where you're then focused solely on the specifics of the grape, the region, and the viticulture.
Have you seen an increase in the number, I mean, of course not recently, but have you seen an increase in the number of wine dinners and events that are centered around wine?
Oh, yeah. It's amazing how the wine culture has exploded, and it's really exciting. People are, I think, for the first time since, you know, we've been more consuming wine more on a regular basis and kind of abandoned our cocktails to pick up a glass of wine, that people now are wanting to explore. I think for a long time there was the notion, I like what I know what I like, I'm going to have my go-to wine tonight, and that's fine. But I think with the wine dinners and the wine tastings and the wine-centered events that are happening, people are becoming much more intrigued by new wines, exciting wines, things they haven't tried. And it's as a result, we're seeing wines imported from places we never saw before. We're seeing exciting new varietals hit the market. So it's because there's this demand that people have for what's new, what's hot, what can I taste that's going to blow my mind that I've never had before.
Yeah, we see a big increase in the number of rosés that are coming on the market, both in sparkling wine as well as just regular wine.
Yes, yes. There is a huge, dare I say, glut of rosé on the market. And part of that was that supply and demand, not to get, you know, geeky, but everybody was jumping on the dry rosé bandwagon. And so naturally, a lot of these wineries wanted a piece of the pie. So there's more rosé out there than I've ever seen. And some of it's beautiful and delicious, and some of it's okay. So it's hard for a consumer, I would imagine, to kind of weed through the endless choices that are out there.
Yeah, a lot of my experience with wine came from Michael Green, who was the wine and spirits editor for Gourmet Magazine for years, along with Sarah Moulton. And what he always says is, break the norms. You don't have to have white wine with fish. You don't have to have red wine with meat. Try something different and get out of your box. And really, the world is your oyster.
Oh, for sure. I think the old adages of food and wine pairing, I hope, are out the window. And a lot of it is because we have so many of these wine events where there are chefs working directly with sommeliers to find new creative wine pairing ideas that are exciting and different. I mean, I don't know if you have ever had a filet mignon with a rosé champagne, but Jeff, I'm telling you, it's pretty delicious. It'll blow your mind.
Does it have some gorgonzola or blue cheese on it?
Oh, you can, yeah, do it up. Top it with some sautéed mushrooms, gorgonzola cheese. I mean, go for it.
Yeah.
But it's the unexpected that is so fun right now.
We're talking with Katie Finn. She's a certified wine specialist and sommelier and curator and portfolio manager at Desert Wine Shop. The Desert Wine Shop is located at 73360 Highway 111 in Palm Desert, and their website is desertwineshop.com. How did you get involved with Desert Wine Shop, and how do you become a curator?
So I had just moved back from Napa, and I was a stay-at-home mom. I had 2 little ones, and I was pretty content just, you know, doing my mom thing. But the wine bug has always been a part of my life, certainly my career. And I received a phone call from the owner of Desert Wine Shop asking me if I would be interested in maybe coming on part-time. Just, you know, dipping my toe back in the working force, and I couldn't say no. And ironically, the retail sector is the only part of the wine industry I had never worked in. So I've worked for restaurants, hotels, wineries, distributors, but never retail, and it fascinated me. So I thought, yeah, you know, I'll come back for just a few hours a week. No too great a commitment. Yeah. And after my first week, I was like, so I'm here Monday through Friday, right? 10 to 6? I fell in love. And so part of my background is being knowledgeable about the wines that are out there, because I worked for a distributor for a long time. I was really familiar with books and how that side of the business worked. As a salesperson, you know, I know what it takes to present wines to a buyer. I had just never been on the buying side of that equation. And so I feel like the knowledge from my previous areas with the wine industry really helped me be focused in this. And as a result, we have put together a really cool portfolio of wines in the shop. We represent wines from every country in the world. We have everything from Armenia to Lebanon and Israel to France, Spain, South Africa, Portugal, you name it. A just real comprehensive selection for how little this shop is. I mean, it is a tiny little shop, and it's amazing how much wine we have squeezed in here.
Well, and wine has really become an experience. It's so great when you make a recommendation and they come back and they say, wow, Katie, this was so wonderful, and it paired perfectly with what we had.
My favorite part of the job. I love that so much. When I tell someone that I'm excited about something and I really think they should get on board and they trust my suggestion, and trust is such a huge part of this too, because it's, well, you know, wine is expensive. It can be. And someone's plunking down, you know, their hard-earned dollar on something they've never had before just on my suggestion. And then a week later they come back and they just say, oh my gosh, Katie, do you have more? That was so great. I loved it. And it just makes my heart swell. It's the best part of the job.
Well, one of the things that varies so much in the wine industry is the vintages, you know, where it's, you know, bottled and the different grapes that are taking from, you know, if a wine is, I'm getting tongue-tied here, Katie. You know, if a wine is an estate wine, you know, all the grapes are grown in that area. But a lot of growers now go out and source other farms and stuff to really create new blends. And so it's always changing. It's always exciting.
Yes, it is. And what's really exciting is the varietals that we're seeing planted that we had never seen here in California specifically before. You know, they're growing Albarino, Vermentino, Peakpool, Tanat, you name it. The California is just this endless melting pot of different varietals that are more globally inspired. I think for so long we were so used to just seeing Cabernet, Chardonnay, Merlot, Sauvignon Blanc, and Pinot Noir. And people thought that was what California did. What we're seeing now is really we can do anything just given the right location. And it's such a big state with so many different microclimates, and we're getting so savvy at what grape grows the best where in any given place that really the sky's the limit. We haven't begun to see what we're capable of.
So one of the interesting blends that you had of a featured wine that was on the Desert Wine Shop website was the Prisma Rosé of Pinot Noir. So give us an example of how a blend like that is developed.
Well, so that's actually, the rosé is 100% Pinot Noir. It comes from Casablanca, Chile, and the grapes that come from the Pinot Noir grapes that come from Chile are exceptional because they have this beautiful salinity. It's high elevation. They're ripe while maintaining acid. It's really a beautiful, beautiful rosé, perfect for our warm weather out here.
And it very refreshing. What would you pair with that?
Perfect. oh my gosh, a beautiful dish of ceviche or gazpacho, or you could even get fancy and do some grilled octopus Mediterranean style with some little potatoes and olives, a little tapenade. I mean, and honestly, Jeff, you can pair that with your lounge chair and your pool, and you're good.
Katie, can you stick with this for a minute?
Yeah, sure can.
Okay, we'll be right back with Katie. You're listening to Delish Dish on iHub Radio.
You need not be a foodie to listen to Delish Dish. Just keep an open mind and have a good appetite for finding the best there is to eat and drink, from the funky to the fancy, across desert cities. Here's your gastro guide, Jeff Hocker, on iHub Radio.
We've been in conversation with Katie Finn, who is a certified wine specialist and sommelier, and also curator and portfolio manager at Desert Wine Shop. You are a wealth of information, so we wanted to have you stick around for a couple more minutes and give us some ideas of some of the other special wines that you have at Desert Wine Shop.
Oh, thanks. So we really try to focus on wines that you can't get anywhere else. Obviously, we're a very small shop, and we're not trying to compete with the big boys around town. And so we look for wines that are pretty unique. I personally love what we call natural wines, and they're very popular right now. So we have an entire section that we've dedicated to these little beauties. And if you're curious what natural wine is, basically, the idea behind it is as minimal winemaking intervention as possible. So for a long time, wines were, you know, bigger is better and majorly extracted, juicy, inky, big bomb wines. And while those are great, and there's a time and a place for all of them, there's this movement towards a lighter touch, not so much oak or no oak at all. Picking the grapes earlier, so there's more acid, it's brighter, it's fresher, and then not really putting a winemaker fingerprint on it, letting the grape really shine and speak for itself, really letting that sense of place come through. And I think that right now we're seeing people really embrace that concept.
And that's one of the hard things with winemaking is people come to expect a certain flavor. And so the winemakers have to kind of manipulate to make sure that that flavor is consistent.
Correct. There's a lot of wineries that create, quote unquote, a house style, where they want to make sure that vintage in and vintage out, regardless of what's happened, that the consumer really knows what they're getting. So they're taking that sense of uneasiness or concern out of the equation.
So one of the other wines that you guys have, you guys also, of course, specialize in both French and Italian wines. Give us some examples of some of those. And how is it, and are you having any trouble getting product right now?
You know, that's a great question. Yes and no. What we found was, at first, yes. So one of my favorite importers is Kermit Lynch. He has his original hub out of Berkeley, and we try to bring in anything and everything we can of his because I just find his wines impeccable. Well, right when this happened, there was a shutdown. We couldn't get any wine from him, and they're some of our most popular wines in the shop. I mean, from beautiful crisp Sancerres that are the Sauvignon Blancs to Côte de Nuit, Pinot Noirs, to 100% Cinsos from the Minervois region. I mean, really, just everything that's so beautiful from them, and we couldn't get our hands on it, and they were flying off the shelf. Now, luckily, we're back in good graces with Kermit Lynch, and we are only one of two shops, retail shops, in the San Diego Inland Empire area to be back with Kermit Lynch as one of their suppliers. So we feel really fortunate about that. And of course, we have, you know, some beautiful wines from all over Italy as well, from Sardinia, Sicily, all through the southern Italy, Campania, Puglia, all the way up to the north, which is my personal favorite, Alto Adige and Friuli, and my favorite wine, which is the Foradori, Elisabetta Foradori. Oh, she is a goddess, and she makes a red wine called Taraldego, that she is credited for basically saving from extinction. And we are lucky enough to have that in the shop, and it's just glorious.
So here's the million-dollar question. When are you at the shop so that you can direct us on what to buy?
I mean, heaven help you. When people come in and I get excited about a wine, I'm kind of a whirling dervish. But I'm here Monday. I'm here Monday through Thursday, 10 to 6 p.m. And my counterpart, Cliff, is here also. He's here by himself on Fridays and Saturdays. But no matter what, we're here and we take really good care of you.
We have no doubt with that. So it's desertwineshop.com. And can you order wines off the website?
You sure can. And it was no small feat, but we actually just got our entire wine inventory up online. You can go to our website, desertwineshop.com. We have it broken down into two menus. One is domestic, one is imports. And I'm telling you, I had no idea we had that much wine in this little shop. But you can scroll through and then either shoot us an email or give us a call. We also do curbside pickup, so we can process payments securely over the phone if you call in your order, and then literally you just pull up and we pop it in your trunk. But our door is also open if you want to come in.
And Katie, for your expertise, is there a way to get a hold of you?
Yes, you can call the shop here anytime, and I always answer. I always take calls. You can also email me any questions. I also manage our Facebook page, so if anybody wants to shoot me a question on Facebook, I'm pretty diligent about responding in a timely fashion. So I want to be here as much as I can for people who are curious about wine and want to explore. My gosh, I want to embrace that and help them run with it.
And give us your email address.
You can reach me at Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at desertwineshop.com, or you can phone me here at the shop at 760-674-0305.
Katie, you're a wealth of information. I can't wait to have you here in the studio so we can do a whole show just on the different wine regions of the world. And have you? I would love to have you as a regular correspondent with us.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, to incentivize that, when I come in the studio, I'll bring wine. We'll sip while we chat. How's that sound?
Well, John and I are all about that. We are ready.
I mean, I didn't think you'd say no.
Thanks for being on the show today. That's Katie Finn, and she's with desertwineshop.com is the website, and you can give them a call at 760-674-0305. We will talk to you soon. Thank you, Katie. So I wanted to give everybody some resources of some of the businesses that have takeout as well as delivery. 849 Restaurant in Palm Springs is doing takeout and delivery from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and 5 to 8 via Grubhub. You can go to their website at 849.com. That's 8 and then the number 49.com. Another great one, La Quinta Brewing Company, is open from 3 to 6 every day in Palm Desert, and their website is laquintabrewing.com. And what's your favorite restaurant?
Oh, I have a lot, but I will just tell you again, dinegps.com will take you to a list by cities of many of the restaurants that are doing this delivery or takeout and curbside service at this time.
Thank you for listening to Delish Dish on iHub Radio. Make sure you check out the website for all of our programming at iHubRadio.com. Always a pleasure, John. Thanks for being our producer and being involved with the show.
Thank you, Jeff.